Welcome to the Neuromyelitis Optica Spectrum Disorder edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the NMOSD community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're talking today with Dr. Evanthia Bernitzas, Director of the Multiple Sclerosis Center at Wayne State University in Detroit, Michigan. An Associate Professor of Neurology, Dr. Bernitzas completed a neurology residency at Case Western Reserve University and neuroimmunology fellowships at the University of Michigan and Baylor College of Medicine. Her clinical research focuses on aggressive forms of MS, new immunomodulatory therapies, and symptomatic interventions. Dr. Bernitzas directs a very active clinical research program, and she's also the PI on numerous clinical and investigator-initiated trials. Thank you for being with us today.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Let's talk about your research. How did you get involved in, first of all, in multiple sclerosis, and more specifically with this specific disorder known as neuromyelitis optical spectrum disorder?
Yes, when I decided to become an MS expert, I was a young woman. MS affects young women, so I fell closer to my patients. Then neuromyelitis optica came into the whole spectrum. In the beginning, we thought that it's a variant of multiple sclerosis. However, now neuromyelitis optica is a separate identity, and it's a very rare disease and can lead to disability, can lead to low quality of life and to severe attacks. So I decided to pursue some research on NMO and, of course, MS. We see more than 3,000 patients with demyelinating diseases, including both MS and neuromyelitis optica.
When you refer to NMO, could you be more specific? What is the distinction between NMO and NMOSD?
Yes, NMO, usually it's a combination of optic neuritis and transverse myelitis. NMOSD means neuromyelitis spectrum disorder, and that means patients may have transverse myelitis along with a positive marker, a marker for NMO, or they may have optic neuritis and the NMOIgG aquaporin antibody, which is a marker of the disease. So patients with NMO spectrum disorder are higher in number than patients with NMO. However, both NMO and NMO spectrum disorder can lead to severe attacks and disability.
So it's not exactly the same disease. You cannot use the terms interchangeably. Is that right?
You can. Maybe, as I explained, NMO includes both transverse myelitis and optic neuritis. NMO spectrum disorder may include only one part of that. However, in practice, we do use this term for the same category of patients.
Okay, you mentioned that for years, scientists thought that it was actually a form of multiple sclerosis. Do you have any updated information on how common this NMOSD is and its relation to the general population?
Correct, yes. The prevalence of NMO varies between racial groups. For example, in whites, the prevalence is about 1 over 100,000 population. This is in white, and this has been consistent. Now, in other racial groups, it's higher than that. For example, in Japan, in Asians, it's about 3 out of 100,000. And in African Americans, in some parts of the world, it's much higher, can be 10 out of 100,000.
Are you referring to African Americans, but what about Africans in general?
This is a great question. There are studies in blacks, I would say in blacks, in different parts of the world, and gave different results regarding the prevalence of the disease. For example, there is a study in United Kingdom, Liverpool, that showed the incidence, it's 1.8 out of 100,000. Of course, again, it's higher than whites at the same area. There is another study in Caribbean, in the Martinique Island, that showed the highest prevalence so far. The prevalence was 11 out of 100,000. There, unfortunately, there are not population-based studies from Africa. From Africa, we may have some single-center studies. We have a report from Nigeria, and that shows it was a single hospital. And in that hospital, they admitted 430 patients. Those patients were diagnosed with NMO over a total admission of 100,000. So they have 100,000 hospitalized patients, and from those, 430 was diagnosed with normal lens optica. But we don't have large population-based studies from Africa. And we can see the incidence in blacks in general varies. And that may have to do with the genetic mix-up, the genetic background of blacks, which is diverse.
I have a question then. Why do you think people of African descent, whether they're black Americans in the United States or in the Caribbean or in Africa itself, why do they seem to be more affected by this disease?
This is genetics, runs in our genes. For example, there are groups that are more prone to certain diseases, like whites may be prone to, you know, certain other diseases. So it has to do with the genetic mix-up. And also that genetic mix-up may define the phenotype of the disease. For example, in blacks, NMO attacks are more severe. And the NMO, the disease, is diagnosed earlier, younger age, than whites. So it's the genes defined the severity, the incidence, the prevalence of the disease, and also sometimes the disability.
We've seen a lot of focus on sickle cell disease, of course, affecting large numbers of Africans and, of course, African Americans, and yet haven't heard too much about NMO in the black population. What do you think can be done to promote more studies among blacks with this disease that would lead to more research and perhaps more therapies?
That's a great question. Yes, the black population in research is underrepresented. And that may be due to cultural bias. There are some trust issues here. Black patients are not very willing to participate in clinical trials. The percentage of blacks in clinical trials is low. In the recent trial of inebilizumab was less than 10%. And in other studies is probably 3 to 4%. So we can see it's very low percentage of blacks. We need to make black patients aware that participation in clinical trials can be really beneficial for them and that can play a significant role for their disease. Now, in our center at Wayne State, patients trust us. We have a long history conducting clinical trials with black population, and this issue is not that prevalent in our center. But all over the world, yes, there is mistrust, there is hesitation, there is a cultural bias that don't let blacks participate in clinical trials. Also, there are other issues like transportation problems. I have seen that in my population at Wayne State, and sometimes patients, for example, with NMO, may be blind. I have young patients who are blind. Blind patient cannot drive, is not safe, and that person depends on relatives or friends to drive to the clinic.
Right. I saw that reading here in your background on your research that an analysis that you presented this year indicate that inebilizumab results in a rapid and sustained B-cell depletion in African-Americans living with NMOSD, and that they often have earlier age of onset and much more severe relapses compared to Caucasians, as well as different responses to targeted therapeutics. Can you talk about that, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, it is well known that African Americans, black patients, have more aggressive disease. And that applies both to multiple sclerosis and to neuromyelitis optica. In my practice, I have seen young black patients with one attack, one relapse, the first episode of neuromyelitis optica, who became blind. It's not that uncommon to have blindness, severe disability, only with the first attack. Yes, African Americans have a more aggressive disease course. I would say in every aspect. Most of my white patients with NMO have for sure better prognosis and less disability. Now, we did some research at Wayne State, and we know that humoral immunity, that means B cells, are more involved in African Americans. So they have more reactive disease based on B cells. Humoral immunity is more prominent. So that means medications that affect the B cells may work better for the African American population. And this is not only in NMO. There are some studies in MS with African Americans that show medications that affect the T cells, the T lymphocytes, don't work that well. For example, interferons for multiple sclerosis don't work that well in blacks compared to whites. So that's why we believe that inebilizumab that affects CD19, affects B cells, would be a great choice for blacks.
I see. How many black people participated in the Horizon study that you presented earlier this year in September?
Yeah, from our center, we had 3 participants. All 3 were blacks. Now, in general, the whole cohort of the NMO patients, it was about 9%. 9%, 9.5% of the study population were blacks, which is not very significant. But it was better than other studies.
Is your center working with any African American or black advocacy groups in any way to increase awareness of this disease and encourage them to participate in clinical trials in the future?
We have patients who have support, who are involved in support groups with other black patients. We have also the Black Women Association, women who are diagnosed with demyelinating disorders participate in this group, and they support other Black people who are newly diagnosed with either neuromyelitis optica or MS. Before the COVID pandemic, we used to give a conference especially for African Americans. It was a conference for African American population with either multiple sclerosis or neuromyelitis optica.
And since, as you mentioned at the beginning, you became interested in the disease because it's MS in general is much more common in women, would it be safe to assume that NMOSD is much more common in black women than in black men?
Yes, that's overall the incidence of NMO, of aquaporin positive NMO, it's 9 to 1. Like it affects 9 women versus 1 man. And of course, it's more common in black women. Again, in our participants in the inebilizumab study, the 3 participants, all of them were women, black women.
I see. We're just about out of time. I appreciate very much you taking the time to talk to us about this severe disorder. Dr. Benitez, thank you for being with us. This is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease
Advisor. Thank you very much for having me.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.